toward the end of Derek's second speech, he said the American Standard Version and Young's literal translation consistently translate apoluo, put away. Of course, but what do they mean by put away? Do they mean just send her away without a divorce, or do they mean by put away divorce? Of course, many translations have put away. Let's look at Matthew 5:32 in the King James Version. Whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Here's a man that puts away his wife. Then it says, whoever marries her, that is put away. No, it says divorce. That woman that got put away now is called divorce. So when we have all these translations there, like the King James and the ASV and Young's that translate apoluo, put away, what did those translators mean by put away? They mean divorce. And I've proven that conclusively by Matthew 5:32. That's what they mean. Because when they said this woman was put away, they said whoever married that apoluo, that put away woman, he then translates it divorce. You see that at the top of the chart? So when they translate it put away, they mean by put away divorce. And that's what you've always thought when you read Matthew 19:9.
Your chart's not up.
Oh, hold my time.
Pause. Please pause. I'm sorry, I didn't know you were, I had a chart up, but I was stopped earlier. Oh, it was?
Oh,
no, that was just
okay. Let's see here. Do we? It's like the projector light's off. Isn't it? Well, I know. Let's try it again. You want to try it? Maybe we need to do the same thing we did before. I can't believe I've already used over a minute to make that one little point. I must have been repeating myself a lot.
It's okay, Alex. I'm going to leave the slideshow over. I thought I was going to do it.
Reset the timer to 20 minutes so he can have the whole thing.
That's too generous, but thank you. Now we got something up there. Now it looks like my children. What's your first name again? Alex, thank you so much. We couldn't have done it without him, that's for sure. Even us software engineers don't know how to do computer things very well, do we? There you go, the top of the chart. Just read it real quick. Whoever puts away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Whoso marry her that is divorced, commit adultery. When the ASV and Leon's literal and the King James translate put away, I'm agreeing with that, Derek. The question is, what do they mean when they translate put away? Do they mean send away without divorce, or do they mean divorce? Well, obviously, if you look at Matthew 5:32, they mean divorce. Because he says, one man put away his wife, apoluo. And then he starts talking about that woman that just got put away, and he says she's been divorced. So what they mean by put away is divorce. So all the translations that translate apoluo, put away, they all agree with me. None of them agree with Derek. None of them. They all mean by put away, divorce. And that's what I'm contending for in this discussion. What do the Greek lexicon say, the Bible dictionaries? We've already been through this. They all say apoluo means divorce. They all say they mean divorce. All the translations that I have here, all the newer translations, translate divorce, apoluo, consistently. Yeah, the King James has put away. That means divorce. All of these newer translations recognize that fact. They translated divorce. All the Bible dictionaries that are telling you what apoluo mean, they say it means divorce. And then we made this point. If put away, apoluo, only means send away without divorce, let's look what we have going on in Matthew 19:9. Let's do that again. Whoever puts away his wife, does that, according to Derek, that means send away without divorcing them. So here's a man that puts away his wife for fornication. Doesn't that apply that verse? If you put away for fornication, you can remarry without committing adultery. Doesn't it imply that? That means if a man sends his wife away without divorce, puts her away, according to the way he defines apoluo, that he can remarry without adultery, but he's still married to the first woman. Because all he did was send her away without divorce. Derek, can't you see that? This is about the third time I've been over this. I don't know why. Love you, brother, but I can't see why you can't see that. If it only means apoluo, put away, only means send away without divorce, that would mean this man, who sends away without getting a divorce, this implies he has a right to remarry. Now he's never divorced his first wife. According to you, he can remarry and not commit adultery. And I know you don't believe that. Now let's go to 8:9. We've already been over this, too. Jeremiah 3:1 is referring back to Deuteronomy 24:1-4. You go back and check that when you get home. We went over that the last speech. It's referring back to it. Deuteronomy 24 is talking about a man puts away his wife for uncleanness. She goes to be another man's wife. If that marriage ends, she can't go back to the first husband. I'm getting ahead of myself. But Derek says, oh, that it says it's an abomination. Can you imagine God changing something that says an abomination? Derek, you know that God said it's an abomination in the Old Testament for a man to eat pork or catfish. But now it's okay. So just because he says it's an abomination doesn't mean it can't change. So he doesn't really believe his own argument that because it's an abomination, God would never change it. Now, I'm not accusing him of being dishonest at all. I just don't think he realizes what he's doing. He's basically making the argument that God said it's an abomination, it can't change, but he doesn't believe that about the prohibition against eating pork and catfish. Now, Jeremiah 3:1 is referring back to Deuteronomy 24:1-4. He said, if a man put away his wife and goes from him, become another man's, that's exactly what happens in Deuteronomy 24. Shall he return unto her again? And Deuteronomy 24:4 says, can't do that. That's exactly what Jeremiah 3 is talking about. And notice, when you put the two passages together, since they're parallel, what Deuteronomy 24:1 says, give her a bill of divorcement and send her out of his house, Jeremiah just calls that putting them away. So if you're paralleling those two passages, put away, which this isn't apaluo, this is the Hebrew. This is put away in the Old Testament, is equated with both sending her out of the house and giving her a bill of divorcement. Put away means you do both of those things, at least according to these passages being in parallel. I hope y'all can understand that. I'm going kind of fast, but I've got to. Derek is amazing how much material he can cover and how many arguments he can make in 20 minutes. Derek's first chart in that last pitch, I'm a bit, that's where I am now. God never forbids marriage. He says that. Did you say that on that? God never forbids marriage in that first chart, right? He says Satan always does that. Yet, I've already shown him this chart where God forbid bad a lot of marriages that he agrees they forbid. For example, Mark 16:17-18, John the Baptist told Herod, they were married. He said, oh, and by the way, they were married. Did God recognize that marriage? He said he had married her. In verse 17, said, Herod and Mary and Herodias, did he recognize it? God recognized it as happening, but he didn't recognize it in the sense of approval of it, because he says, it's not lawful for you to have her. So he saw that it happened, but he didn't recognize it as being approved of. Did God, after Herod had divorced his wife, Antipas, right? Herod Antipas, and Herodias had divorced her husband, did God forbid this marriage? He said, God never forbids marriage. Well, obviously he did forbid it. He said, because after they got married, John the Baptist says, it's not lawful for you to have her. Derek said God never forbids marriage. But what did he do to Deuteronomy 7, verse 3? Now remember, Derek on that chart said, God never forbids marriage. Only Satan does that. In Deuteronomy 7, 3, he admitted last night that God forbade the Israelites marrying women from these seven foreign nations. He forbade it. So much so that we see in Ezra, when they committed the sin, and when they had married those women, here's what it says in Ezra 10. Ezra said unto them, ye have transgressed, and have taken strange wives. Remember, Derek said he never forbids marriage. You did what I told you not to. I forbid you from marrying them. I know Derek's going to come along later and say, God, I never forbid marriage, but I did. And now you marry those wives that I forbid you from taking. Now, therefore, make confession to the Lord and separate yourselves from the strange wives. Derek, did God forbid those marriages? He did, didn't he? So much so that when he forbade them, when they went ahead and disobeyed him, he said, you've got to get out of it. And that's exactly what we're saying about Matthew 19:9. He says, you, if you divorce your wife for any reason other than fornication, I forbid you remarrying. Because how does he say that? If you remarry that second wife, you commit adultery. And just like he's telling these people, completely different reason, this is not their second marriage, this is because they married some people from another nation. He told them not to. And you got it right. Why? Last night, Derek, you didn't explain it, but you got it right. It's because he's afraid they'll start causing these Israelites to worship idols. That's the why. But the why doesn't change the fact. He said, don't marry them. And then after they did, he says, get out of the marriage. He did forbid this marriage. And not only that, he said, get out of it. Derek said God never forbids marriages. Satan only does that. But God, according to Derek, does forbid gay marriages. I agree with everything you say about God not recognizing gay marriages scriptural. Of course not. That's my whole point. Gay marriages have never been right. Never, ever would God ever even think about letting them be right. And that's why God forbids them. And that's why Derek agrees you've got to get out of them. And if you divorce your wife for any reason other than fornication, God forbids the remarriage of another woman because he calls it adultery. And by the exact same argument that you believe that a person got to get out of a gay marriage, the exact same argument, because God does not recognize it as scriptural, as sinful, unlawful, got to get out of it. Polygamous marriages. Does God ever forbid a polygamous marriage? Well, in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2, he says, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So he does forbid polygamous marriages. So when Derek said God never forbids marriage, only Satan does that. Derek, he's not being dishonest. He just doesn't realize what he's saying. Derek doesn't even agree with that statement. I've just given you four different kinds of marriages right on this chart that Derek agrees God forbids those marriages. Yet he'll get up there and say God does not forbid it. Now here's the point. When God forbids them, he told them afterwards to get out of it every time. and Derek wants to know, if a man divorces his wife and remarries, why can't the second woman remarry? The woman, I'm talking about, not the second woman, the first woman, the woman that put divorced. If he's incredulous, Pat is teaching that if a man divorces his wife and then he remarries, why can't the second, excuse me, the original wife remarry? Well, I could spend two nights debating that issue, Bob. Okay? But I'm not going to go into the why, because it's not really important. The fact is that why is not important. The fact is that God said she can't remarry. So it's not really important to understand why. It's important to understand that God said she's not to. Let's read this in your Bible, Luke 16:18. Whoever puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery. Then it says, according to Derek, if a man divorces his wife and remarries, why can't that woman, the original wife, remarry? As if to say, she can. Derek says she can, and nobody can tell me differently. But then God says that whoever marries her that is put away from her husband committed adultery. Why? I could debate why, but there's not even necessary, because God said. The why is this. God said if a man divorces his wife and remarries, here's all that matters. God says that original wife can't marry. That's all we need to say. If God tells us not to do something, even if we don't understand why, let's don't do it. And while we have that passage open, he brought up 1 Corinthians 7:27 and 28 again. And he didn't do this on purpose, but he ignored what I had already responded to that, but he made the argument again as if I had never responded to it. He says in 1 Corinthians 7:27, it says, if you're loosed, you may remarry. That's what it says. I'm paraphrasing there. And here's what I said in my last speech. I think it was my last speech. Since that person who's loosed may remarry, and I agree that they may, Derek. It says they may remarry, 1 Corinthians 7, that the loosed may remarry, the unbound may remarry. He must not be talking about the woman we just read about in Luke 16:18, because that woman can't remarry. The woman where the man put his wife away in Luke 16:18 unscripturally, can she remarry? No, it says whoever marries her commits adultery. So she must not be that loosed woman in 1 Corinthians 7:27 and 28, because the divorced woman can't remarry according to Luke 16:18. The loosed woman can remarry according to Luke, according to 1 Corinthians 7:27 and 28. So either there's a contradiction in the Bible, or 1 Corinthians 7 and Luke 16 are talking about two different people. One's talking about somebody divorced, the other's talking about somebody loosed, which would have to be either their spouse, they've never been married, their spouse has died, or they have divorced their spouse for fornication. That's the only person that's loose. A person that's been divorced, like they divorced their spouse for a reason other than fornication, or they've been divorced, they're not loose. Luke 16:18 and the other passage would say they can't remarry. They can't be the loose person. Y'all understand that? Luke 16:18 says the divorced can't remarry. 1 Corinthians 7:27 and 28 says the loose can, therefore the loose is not referring to the divorced. That's pretty simple. Turn to 1 Corinthians 7. Derek said, I tried to write this as a quote. Remain unmarried or be reconciled is never said to a divorced person. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:10 and 11. Unto the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Now, Derek, we agree that's not apoluo, it's kurizo, which means to leave or to separate. That's why it's translated depart. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Let not the husband put away his wife. Now, here's that instruction that he quoted. Let her remain unmarried or be reconciled. He said it's never written to a divorced person. Well, I agree this is including separation, departing. It's not just talking about divorced people, but it would have to at least include divorced people. After all, divorced people do separate, right? They do kurizo. They leave each other. It would have to at least be including divorced people because it says she's to remain unmarried or be reconciled. Remember, verse 10 says she has a husband. Now she leaves the husband, she's unmarried. Well, that means she's not married now, but she was married. She had a husband. Verse 10, he says, remain unmarried or be reconciled, never said to a divorced person. Well, if she was married and now she's unmarried, that means she's divorced. So remain unmarried or be reconciled is said to a divorced person. A person that was married now is unmarried. Okay? Then he said, Herod and Herodias didn't have to divorce. Everybody turn to Mark 6, 17 and 18. Now, if you can look at that and say that God was not expecting them to divorce, then you need to agree with Derek in this debate. You need to agree with him. If you can look at that passage and say they didn't need to divorce. Let's look at it. Mark 6, 17 and 18. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, remarried her. Here's the critical phrase. For John had said unto Herod, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now, if you can look at that and not understand that Herod needed to divorce Herodias, when God said it's not lawful for you to have her, then you should agree with Derek in this debate. In Alabama, we have a law against possessing marijuana. Smoking it, selling it, possessing it. If you got the marijuana, if it's not lawful for you to have it, in Alabama that means You got to get rid of it. Throw it away, put it in the garbage, burn it, give it to the police. In Kentucky, does that mean if you have a law against possessing marijuana, that means you don't have to get rid of it? Be right with the law of Kentucky? Or does when it's if the law of Kentucky says it's not lawful for you to have marijuana, does that mean you got to get rid of it? What does it mean? I think we all know what that law in Alabama means. And so we should all know what God's law means in Mark 6, 17 and 18. Shouldn't we? We should, shouldn't we? Derek says, polygamous marriages and gay marriages are not recognized. And he means recognized in the sense as approved of God. Neither are adulterous marriages. They're not recognized as being approved of by God. They're in the same boat as polygamous and adulterous and homosexual marriage. Same boat. Yeah, God recognizes them in the sense that he sees that they're married. He'll call them married. Whoever divorces their wife and marries another commits adultery. Of course he says. He says they're married. That's why it's adultery. Because they're with a woman they're not supposed to be with. They're still bound or obligated to their first spouse. So he knows that it happened. He calls it marriage and he says that marriage is adulterous. Just like, how does he recognize murder? He recognizes that it happens. The man is really dead. But he doesn't recognize it as lawful and right. It doesn't mean the fact that he doesn't recognize it as lawful and right that the murder didn't happen. No, the man's dead. So the fact that he doesn't recognize the marriage as scriptural, lawful, doesn't mean the marriage didn't take place. It did. It's a sinful thing, just like the murder. Then Derek brought up 1 Corinthians 7 about abide in that calling. Abide in that calling. Hold my time, just a minute. See if we get it going. There we go. We're back. Yes, he does tell them to abide in the calling. But in that context, he's talking to people. He says, if you're called when you're circumcised or uncircumcised, abide in that calling. Circumcision is not right or wrong. Then he says, if you're a servant or a master, abide in that calling. Not a right or wrong. If you're unmarried or married, not a matter of right or wrong, abide in that calling. But he's not talking about abiding callings like polygamy that are unscriptural and unlawful, like a thief. If he's a thief, that's what he does for a living. Can he abide in that calling? If he's he looks at pornography, can he abide in that calling? Polygamous, can he abide in that calling? Homosexual, can he abide in that calling? No, he's only talking about callings like circumcision and being a servant and being unmarried. They're not right and wrong in themselves. And if you're in an adulterous marriage, you cannot abide in that calling. Running out of time. Compromise through the years. Now, if you go back to before 1930, every church stood exactly where I stand tonight. Here's an 1896 Methodist creed book. No divorce except for adultery shall be regarded by the church as lawful, and no minister shall solemnize marriage in any case where there is a divorced wife or husband living, but this rule shall not be applied to the innocent party to a divorce for the cause of adultery. That's exactly like Matthew 19:9 in their own words. Every church, including all the Christian churches, stood for the truth on this in 1896. But the compromise came through the Methodist Church. And by 1984, they said, where marriage partners are estranged beyond reconciliation, we recognize divorce as regrettable, but recognize the right of divorced persons to remarry. Y'all see the difference in 1984 and 1896? Huge difference. 1896, they're right with Jesus and where I am tonight. 1984, they're right with Derek, where Derek is it tonight, aren't they? Right. Why the concession or compromise? Well, Anthony Duncan says, well, the reason people compromise is the number of divorces in the United States has led most denominations away from the teaching that divorced people who marry another spouse are living in sin. It wasn't because they studied the Bible and found out that they should accept adulterous marriages. It's because the number of divorces increased, so they changed their teaching. And the next quote, I don't have time to get into it, will say that basically this is going to lead to the acceptance of gay marriage. If you can accept adulterous marriages, why can't you accept homosexual? If you can accept adulterous marriages, why can't you accept adulterous marriages? He said adultery is not something you do in the bed. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but adulterers will judge. Yeah, of course, every word has figurative meanings. But the literal meaning for adultery in Matthew 19:9 is something done in the bed. Like when a man is lusting after a woman in his heart, he's thinking about getting in bed with her, right? John 8:4, the woman was caught in adultery, caught in the bed. That's what adultery is. If you divorce your spouse for any reason other than fornication and marry another, you commit adultery, something done in the bed. 1 Corinthians 6, homosexuals and adulterers, he's talking to them. Such were some of you because you became Christians.
That's time. Finish your point.
Derek uses 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Such were some of you, past tense, to prove those gays had quit their homosexuality. They quit it. Such were some of you, past tense. We all do that. Well, adulterers are in the same list. They quit their adultery. Thank you so much for being patient with me and listening to me for these 2 hours of speaking and everything. Thank you so much. You've been very patient with me. I appreciate it.